Please stand for the reading of God's holy word. We are on the topic of worship. Reading from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord, your God, directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord, your God, as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Heavenly Father, may we, your people, have a heart for the things of God. May we not dismiss them lightly. I pray, Lord, for our families. Not just the families here, but the families all across America. And what can be easily seen. And what is happening in our country. I pray, Father, we may be examples to those around us. Our neighbors. In our homes. Other family members. May your truths be impressed upon our minds. May they be impressed upon our hearts. And may we go forth, Lord, with that. That it may be seen, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. I have a quiz for you this morning. See if you can identify the product by the advertising slogan. Are you ready? Somebody burned down my she shed. State Farm, yes. How about this one? America runs on Duncan. Oh, you are so bright. How about this one? We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. Farmers Insurance. Here's a couple older ones. Fly the friendly skies of United. The quicker picker-upper. Bounty. One last one. What's in your pocket? Capital One. I didn't get one past you. You don't even need to hear this sermon today. You're dismissed. You can go home. Advertising slogans create a hunger for us to buy or purchase that product. Likewise, as Christian people, we should create a hunger in our families for the things of God. We must do that, because if we do not, then the world will take captive our children. This sermon this morning is a combination of a series of sermons that I preached several years ago. It is on worship. It is on worship. But with all of the things that we've talked about over these past 7 weeks or so, what good is it if we learn things, but yet our families themselves are not involved in the worship of God? So I invite you to take this sheet, turn it over, and invite you to take some notes this morning, as I ask you to do every Sunday, and that you will understand how grave the situation is in our country today concerning this. We have to teach your family to love God. We can teach them what love is about by they seeing love from us, a parent for their son or daughter. They can understand that, but it's a little more difficult. It's a little more difficult to understand the love of God when they're younger. And you can tell them what Jesus did, but you go a long way toward expressing that love by them seeing that love and seeing how you yourself love God. When they see how you love God, when they see how you love God, that will make an impression on them. This morning, we read the Shema. The Shema. It is the oldest prayer in Judaism. It's the oldest prayer in Judaism. It's the opening prayer of every synagogue service. That's how important it is. Every synagogue service opens with this prayer. It is said every morning and every evening. When they get up, they say this prayer. Before they go to sleep, they say this prayer. They are told to say this prayer at least twice a day. Other rabbis say you need to say it at least five times a day to make an impression upon you. It is so important, it is so very important that every good Jewish family has what is called the mezuzah. You see that little metal right there, that little metal piece. Inside the mezuzah is the Shema. Every time a dedicated Jew enters his house, he does this, and he touches the mezuzah. Every time he leaves his house, he goes and touches the mezuzah. The purpose of that? To remind them of their faith. To remind them how important that God is. Am I saying we should do that? No. But what something like that does for them, it reminds them who God is. I'm leaving my house. I want to make sure God is with me. I'm coming into my house. I want to bring God in there with me too. God is serious about families. After all, he created the first family. He knows that families are important for worshiping him. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Notice that it says hear. That means to hear, listen, and pay attention. When God says it, hear, listen to what I'm saying, God is saying. O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The Shema is the classic test on teaching the word of God to children. It gives you this is what God thinks is important in every family. Now you might say, that's the Old Testament. But yet the principles are the same. And I want to share with you 6 points concerning this. The first one is saying, teach that the Lord is one. That's in verse 4. Teach your children and your family that the Lord is one. And you can say, well, I already know that. But if you go back to that time where there was a pluralistic society. There were pagan gods all around them. We're living in such a time today. You know that, right? We're living in a time where a plurality of so-called gods all around us. The competition, in a sense, for your hearts of your children is very great. There are those out there that want to capture the hearts of your children. Teach that the Lord is one. There is only God. Teach them to love Yahweh. Teach them to love Yahweh. Verse 5. And I may make some of you upset, but however, truth is truth. And every so often I put this out there. God's name. Don't get mad at me. You can go on the internet and you can find this out for yourself. God's name is not Jehovah. God's name is Yahweh. Jehovah is a transliteration of Adonai and Yahweh. There are no vowels in Judaism. So even the idea of Jehovah is not correct. There are no vowels. There are only consonants. Yahweh is what God's name is. It was so holy, they never, ever said it. They always said Adonai. The first time we see Jehovah in a Bible is the Tyndale version in the 1500s. Tyndale transliterated the combination of the two terms and he created Jehovah, the name. It would be like me, I'm going to start calling God, well, I'm not going to say anything because that would not be holy. Pick anything you want and you decide you want to start calling God that. Unfortunately, it was picked up by the King James Version in the 1600s. Yahweh is God's name. Teach them to love Him. To love Him. To love Him. Not just to know about Him. How do you teach them to love God? By them seeing you is one thing, by you talking to them. Teach the word. Verse 7. Teach the word. Verse 7 says, teach them diligently. And that means be sharp about it. Do it with a sharpness to it, with to the point. Make sure you're doing this. 4, talk about the word. And verse 7 says, talk about it when you sit. Talk about it when you walk. Talk about it when you lie down. Talk about it when you get up. In other words, talk about it to your children all the time. All the time. Tough question. What do you talk to your children about? If it is everything but, you need to understand the gravity of things. Tie them as symbols, verse 8 says. Now they went overboard. They began to wear little phylacteries on their foreheads. It's time on your arms and your foreheads. They created little things on their foreheads where they would put scripture verses. What God is saying is saying, you know, get it up there. Get it up there. Get it here. Get it inside you. Write them on your door frames. And that's why they created the mezuzah. In other words, always be influencing your family. Always be influencing your family with God's word. Always. When you sit, when you stand, when you eat, whenever you have a chance, whenever there's an opportunity. If I were to ask you, what is the most important verse in the Bible? I would probably, if I would say, okay, this section here, get together and make a decision what you think the most important Bible verse is. You do likewise. We might come up with maybe 5 or 6 different ideas of what the most important verse is. Let me tell you what Jesus says the most important verse is. I'm going to read Mark chapter 12, verse 28. A teacher of the law asked Jesus, of all the commandments, which is the most important? And Jesus, the most important one, Jesus answered, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Jesus says that we should love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. That's a lot of love. That's a lot of love. Now I might say, how many of you love your children? Everybody's hands would go up. You would do anything for them. You would do anything for your children because you love them so much. Jesus, in this verse, is repeating the Shema. It is found in all 3 synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It is so important that Jesus makes sure it's repeated again. It's not just in Deuteronomy. It's in Matthew, it's in Mark, it's in Luke. He wants us to understand that we are to love God that much. That much. Every parent is a disciple maker. You don't look at yourself that way, perhaps. But whether you realize it or not, you are. You are the disciple maker. You are making disciples in your homes. You are deciding, whether you realize it or not, what direction your children are going to be going. You are shaping how your kids will see the world by what you emphasize in your home, what you tell them in your conversation. Everybody's house isn't like this. I know mine isn't. You open up the windows and you see something like that. Bob has a house like that. He really doesn't. Lou might. You're in your house. And your children look out and they see a world before them. What are you teaching them to see? You see, the home is the window to the world. What are you showing them in your home? What are they seeing in your home? The home is how your child first sees what is important in life. When you're in your home, you have the opportunity to be telling them while they're young certain things about God. They are watching you. Do you know that your children are always watching? Being an old teacher, when I was a teacher, I learned a long time ago that children learn. I've said this a number of times. Children learn more from what they see than from what we tell them. At some point in their teenage years, they may back off a little bit. They may want some more privacy, but I'll tell you this. Maybe they're a little more quiet. They're always watching. They're always watching. They are seeing what's important in your life. They're seeing what's important in your home. They're seeing and watching what happens in your home. The family is the school of life, you might say. If what I'm saying is true, and it is, because I know I'm old man Zoller. For those of you who don't know that, every so often, when I was growing up, we had a neighbor. His name was Mr. Zoller. He would say something and his hand would go up. Ha ha, I know, I'm old man Zoller. So sometimes when I want to emphasize something, I'll go, I know, I'm old man Zoller. This is true. That story is true, and what I'm saying is true. The family is the school of life. You have them. You have them while they're young before they go to school themselves. When they go to school, you still have them for a while. The family gives children an identity. You are deciding. You have that time to give them an identity in their lives, to put within their hearts the things that are important. You help create that direction in which they go. I said this last week, and I said this maybe about a month and a half ago. I'm going to say it again. Some years ago, there was a Christian reporter going around asking people, hello, who are you? And Keith might say, I'm Keith. No, no, no. I don't want to know your name. I want to know who you are. And Keith would say, I drive a truck. No, 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 no. I don't want to know what you do. Who are you? Not interested in what you do. Not interested in how much money you make. Not interested in your name. Who are you? A child of God. A child of God. And it matters. It matters. It matters to me. When Stacy and I became Christian, that was the number one thing in my mind. I didn't care. I didn't care whatever they did when they grew up. As long as it was legal. I didn't care what kind of job they had. But foremost in our minds, I wanted them to know without a doubt and to serve God. Serve God and to love Him. That was the most important thing to me in raising them. Stacy and I. They would have that identity. Dr. James Dobson. And I hope all of you know who he is. don't see or hear too much of him anymore. As he's getting up there in age, probably sometime soon we'll hear about him going to be with the Lord. He's written dozens and dozens and dozens of books about the family. And hopefully you know that. Many, many, many wonderful books. He has said this: the most important task in parenting is to win children to Jesus Christ. It is. That is the most important thing in parenting. The most important task in parenting is to win children to Jesus Christ. Distortions of the truth are everywhere. And you have to be blind today not to know that. He goes on to say, it's in children's secular literature. It's in Saturday morning cartoons. It's in movies. It's in music. Boy, is it in music. It's in public school classrooms. It's throughout all culture today. It's pervasive across culture today. The influence is pervasive. If you watch the Super Bowl, you may have seen the halftime show. I did not see it. I went to get something to eat. However, I did hear that no young child should have been watching it. That's what I heard, that how bad it was. I heard one sports person say, it's about time we've come into the 21st century with shows. And the little children would be watching that. They should have had some kind of sign. If you have a little child, please take him out of the room at this time. But that's where our culture is. That's where it is right now. Look at these. In the parentheses, I'm going to show you a series of these. In parentheses, I have where I got this. I didn't make these up. 88% of the children in evangelical homes leave church at the age of 18. Is that shocking to you? It is to me. It is to me. That's why this is so important. 88%. We're not talking about in all of culture. We're talking about in evangelical homes. 63% of teenage Christians don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. How can that be? How can that be? I can't believe this. I'm incredulous. I really am. Only 6% of college professors said the Bible is the actual Word of God. Why do I have that statistic? Because probably most of your children will go to college. And if you haven't put these things in their hearts, they will be drawn away. They will be drawn away. It's not if, they will be. 51% of college professors describe the Bible as a book of fables. That's what you're sending your children out to. Number one reason children leave the faith: I left Christianity because I allowed other things to take priority. Number one reason Christian children leave the faith: I allowed other things to take priority, to come before. I want to encourage you. Do you realize what happens? And again, I may be making some of you parents angry with me. I hope not, but yet this is urgent. There is an epidemic in our country today. People are saying, experts are saying, in 10 years, that you won't recognize the church. If we lose our children, we will lose the next generation and the generation and the generation after that. George Barna, who started his company in 1984, has been in business for 36 years, Christian pollster. He has so many, and I've shared him before with various statistics. He said, if a child does not accept Jesus as Savior before the age of 14, the odds of ever doing so is slim. Again, George Barna, the possibility of someone embracing Jesus as Savior after age 19 is 6%. Most of what a child believes at 13 will be believed for the rest of his or her life. So you see how important the home is in teaching our children these things. It's estimated that knowledge in the world is doubling every 2 years. Every 2 years, knowledge is, I can't even imagine that. I don't know how to compute that in my mind. One half of what you learn now will no longer be relevant in 5 to 7 years, experts say. And if that's the case, and the experts are saying this, so which truth will you abandon and which will you take in? Which truth will you emphasize in your home and emphasize because you want your children to get ahead? I want my children, too, to be ahead, but I want them to love God first above all things. Are you setting goals for your children? You practice baseball and football. No, all that stuff's good. But if you're doing that 6 days a week, do you know what's going to be more important to them? If you're doing that 6.5 days a week, and some, if you're doing it 7 days a week, do you know what's going to be more important to them? Do you know what's going to be pushed out and made more important? That's a fact. I've been a pastor a long time. I've seen it. I've told this story probably 20 times. And those of you who have been here, you'll know it. When Stephanie was, she doesn't look like an athlete, but she is. She is. She was fast and she could run and she could play volleyball and basketball. Anyway, when she was young and in grade school, she had the opportunity to be on the traveling team in soccer, which meant that Sunday she would miss most of the church service. We gave her the choice. You want to join the that's a big honor. It's a big honor to get on a traveling team. Big honor. You want to go with that? Or do you want to come to church? Now understand this. If she made the wrong choice, we were going to make the right one. But we wanted her. We wanted her. We wanted to hear what she would do. Fortunately, she made the right choice. And she said, I won't be on a traveling team. I want to. Why? What is that? That's a teaching moment. You're putting within them, what's important? Are the things of God more important or being on it? I've showed this before. If we don't teach our children to follow Christ, the world will teach them not to. It will. When I was a little boy, we didn't have to worry about sports on Sunday. That is, organized sports taking away. This is a relatively new phenomenon. And what it is doing, and that it's talking to pastors want to pull their hair out what is happening on Sundays. They don't know how to combat that. Four principles for passing on the faith to your children. Because if we don't do this, it will affect. You may think your children are nice. Look how good they are. Oh, I just love them so much. I'm going to just hug them. And we do. We do that. But again, you are your home. Your home is what's teaching them what's important. And if we don't pass it on to them, I'm telling you, it will happen. They may be nice adults, but nice adults aren't going to go to heaven. Saved adults are. What is a saved person? It's not someone who just says a sinner's prayer. It is someone who is living the faith in their life. Is Jesus alive in me? Do I sound very strong and emphatic today? I am, because I see what's happening. Stronger, more than typical on a Sunday? I am. Because you have to be blind not to see the culture. And the fact that it's happening, this is not true, but yes, it is. It's worse than you can imagine. It's worse than you can imagine. Four principles for passing on the faith to your children. One, your family is running a spiritual relay race. The Apostle Paul often compared living the Christian faith to a race. Are you going to run the race to win the crown, or are you just going to run a race? What is more important? In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, we see Paul saying, Timothy, Lois passed on the faith to Eunice, your mom, and Eunice, and both of them passed it on to you, Timothy. They passed the baton to Timothy. That's it. That's it. Two, a successful handoff requires practice. That's what Deuteronomy chapter 6 is all about. It's telling us what we need to do, that we need when they sit, when they eat, when they walk. Three, keep working on the handoff. Keep working on the handoff. I haven't said this in a while. I used to say it a lot. I stopped. Have family devotions. Have family devotions. If your children are grown up, you and your husband, have family devotions. It'll change your marriage. If your children are little, have family devotions. And I've said this many times. When our children were little, after supper, because right after supper was the best time for us. Everybody's still there. They're not going in different directions. Right after supper, sit down. Dishes can be done later. Sit down, read a little passage. Doesn't have to be long. Could be just 5-6 lines. Say something about it. Let it impress you, and then pray. Last year I had one of you tell me, you know, we missed it one or two days, and my children said to me, hey, what about our devotions? Yeah, that is cool. That's cool. Cool indeed. Hey, what happened? That was starting to get ingrained in them. We didn't have it. Four, keep working at it even after the handoff. If your children are grown and they have strayed, it's not over. It's not over till it's over, as they say. It's not over. You can pray for them. When the windows open or the doors open, speak to them. I've said this many, many times too, and I said it on Thursday to the Bible study group. When I became a Christian, I told my mother. My mother said to me, Stephen. Because I said, she never said my name, she always sang it. I'm going to disown you. I was shocked when she said that, because my father had died. My brother lived in Washington, D.C. I was the one looking after her. But I got her. 5 years later, I led her to Christ. I led my mom to Christ. I led my aunt to Christ. I led my sister-in-law to Christ. I led my brother to Christ. Keep working on it. When you see a door open, don't get them mad. You don't want to close. You don't want them to close the door. In 2004, the Olympics were in Greece, and I don't know how Andrew the is it 4x100? Is that the race 4x100 relay races? 4x100. I guess that's how you may say it. Women's relay race. Marion Jones was a superstar. 4 years earlier, she had won 4 gold medals in women's events. Here she is now in the 4x100. And she was in the second leg of the relay race. And she was to hand off to Lauren Williams. If you remember Lauren Williams, who grew up in Rochester. Lauren Williams was in the 2004 Olympics. That's Lauren in the front there. That's Lauren in the front with her hand back like this. And Marion Jones is handing the baton to her. I want to tell you that they were expected to win. They had the best team in the Olympics. Everybody knew it. Everyone knew it. Everyone knew it. They had the fastest run in the preliminaries. Nobody was close. But they missed the handoff. Mary and Joseph tried three times to hand it to Lauren Williams. Each time it failed. The fourth time she connected, but by then they had gone past 20 yards, which you can't do it anymore. They were disqualified. The best team. The best ones. They missed a handoff. We don't want to miss a handoff. It isn't automatic. You can have nice adult children. That doesn't mean that they're loving God. It means they could be going through motions. And God never likes us going through motions. But we can mail it in. Five ways to love God more. One, evaluate your own relationship with God. How are you with Him? How's your relationship with Jesus? Is it stale? Is it stale? I hate sometimes when I pray. When I'm praying like that, I gotta stop. Come on, Steve, what are you doing? You can't mail it in. Is it stale? Look to Him. Get rid of the idols in your life. Now you're saying, well, idols? I don't have any idols. I'm not talking about these. I'm not talking about those kind of idols. Get rid of the idols in your life. It could be money. Well, what are you doing with your money? Does the money all go to me? It could be sports. It could be work. It could be your home. It could be your car. It could be almost anything. Get rid of the idols in your life. Three, interact with other Christians. From the time I became a Christian, I wanted to be around other strong Christians. You know, one of the best ways to get to know people, Thursday night Bible studies. One of the best ways. A lot of interaction going on. We have other events, too, and we'll be having even more. Interact with other Christians. Rub shoulders with other Christians. Talk with other Christians. Now, you know, I'm struggling with this. Can I pray for you? Guys are especially bad. We just kind of keep it in. I'm struggling. I don't want to tell. I don't want anybody to know. I don't want anybody to know. Don't want anybody to know that I'm like this or that. Pray, read, seek God intentionally. Pray, read, seek God intentionally. Develop that heart for God. Develop it. Look for ways to serve Him. Are you serving yourself? You got all kind of wonderful toys and gadgets at home? That's nice. That's serving yourself. Look for ways to serve Him. We have so many ministries going on here. Whew. I can't wait for Pastor Stephen to come on full time in April. Here! He's doing a lot now, but we have so many ministries. Back in the 1800s, don't zip up your Bibles just yet. Back in the 1800s, two steamboats were going down the Mississippi, making their way to New Orleans. The one on the right had mostly people. The one on the left had a lot of products and cargo that was taking down to New Orleans. As they continued together down the Mississippi River, a couple of the workers on each started yelling to each other, "Hey, I bet we'll beat you down there." "Ah, no, sir, you can't beat us. We're faster than you." They began to get involved in a race. And they started throwing more coal on. The one on the left ran out of coal. One enterprising worker started looking at some of the cargo. There's, this isn't important. Started throwing the cargo to stir whatever the furnace or coal, whatever that is in there, to burn it up. they eventually won the race. But they burned up most of the cargo. God has entrusted to you the most important cargo that you will ever have. Your cargo is your family. That is, and you're entrusted with that. Husbands, fathers, the scripture tells us that we are responsible for our families, for our wives, that when we marry them, we have the responsibility of polishing them to say, Lord, here she is. She's better than when I found her. Don't sacrifice your family, your cargo, because you've emphasized and overemphasized, I want my son to go to the NFL. That's what I want. If he goes to the NFL, then I'll get a bigger home. Well, that's nice if he goes to the NFL. I hope he does, but not at the expense of God. You don't want that. Not at the expense of God. We know that. What good is it if they're so successful in business, in sports, and they have everything that money can buy, and they're still nice, but they're not going to heaven? Because really, it's all about, do you love me? You love me. This one. If you come to our house and you open the door to our house, the first thing you see on the wall right there is this. Choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's the first thing you see. Open our front door. That's right there. It's about 3 feet from a wall that's there. It's not long, so it's very short. Open a door, 3 feet away is a wall with that on it. I'm not trying to brag. I'm trying to tell you what is important in life. And what is important is what you pass on to your children in the faith. And that we can get involved and we can look like everybody else around us. And we think, well, I don't want them to miss out. I don't want them to miss out on this stuff. I want to make sure that they're involved in all of this because I want them in all of it. But you don't understand. We're talking about eternity. And again, if you think they're nice, niceness isn't going to do it. Even being good, because you can't be good enough. The idea always comes to you. Do you love me? It's not, did you say a prayer? Did you walk down an aisle? Did you sign a card? It will be about, do you love me? And if you love me, you're going to show it. If you love your husband and your wife, you're going to show it. Hi, Stace, I love you. Oh, yeah, I love you. You're going to show it. You're going to show it. And you want your family. You want your family to love God. I know I'm delivering this very, very strong today because I need to emphasize. I want to emphasize how important. Again, if you're looking at the culture, unless, of course, you're so involved in your own little vacuum that you're not looking at the news and looking at politics and you're not looking at what is happening everywhere. It's getting bad. I've never seen it like this. And it's only going to get worse because anything goes today. You think some of the things concerning the sexual revolution is over? It's not. It's only going to get worse in many different ways that you're not even thinking of, according to experts. So please, 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 if you say, I don't know how to do it, I don't know how to have it, you don't have to be an expert. As I've said before in the past, when we had devotions, I was a pastor, but still yet kids are kids. Their eyes wandered when they were little. Their attention went. But we did it anyway because we wanted to put that habit in them. Some years ago, and I said this before too, some years ago we asked both Stephen and Stephanie, How come you never said to us, we don't want to go to church today? They never said to us, no Sunday did they ever say, we don't want to go to church. And they said, correct me if I'm wrong. And they said, because it was part of who we were. It was part of who we were. It was what our family was about. It speaks, and they knew what is important because they saw it in us. Now, they have that same issue with children that they are raising in there. And it is harder today than it was. It's harder today than it was with our children. Back when I was growing up, you look, wow. How easy that was back then. How easy. Anyway, I didn't plan on saying half of this stuff that I said today. If your children are grown up, don't do this to yourself. Man, did I mess up. And if they're somewhere, don't do this to yourself. It's not over. It is not over. It's not over. God is faithful. It's one thing you know about God, He's faithful. How do you know? How do you know that He's interested in your family? Because He saved you. That's how you know. How do you know He's interested in your family? Because He saved you. Even if her mother said to me, I'm going to disown you. I thought it's not over. I didn't say that to her, but I said it to myself. So please, take this to heart. Don't just do the same thing. If you're not having the votes, if you're not emphasizing, just don't do the same thing. You realize, if you make the mistake of thinking, well, they're good kids, it's not going to do it. It's not going to do it. Amen. Amen. Musicians. Thank you, Father, for your word. May we take it home in our hearts and our minds. May we eat it like we eat our favorite foods and get filled up with it, I pray. Pastor Steve, will you dismiss us?
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that we will love you, Lord, with all of our hearts, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, Lord. We pray for our kids, Lord, that not just what we do, but our actions, Lord, not the words that we say, Lord, that we will show them how much we love you, Lord, and that they will follow, Lord. For all the parents here, Lord, for all the people, all the kids that look up to everyone here, Lord, we pray that we will be examples to them, Lord. Help us to love you more, Lord. Now and forevermore, Lord. We lift your name on high. We exalt you, Lord. We thank you for this time, for worshiping you, for praying together, Lord, for hearing your word and learning from your word, Lord. I ask a blessing on everyone here in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.